Tuesday night I came, and we were up in the circle praying, and Pastor had the holy oil, and we were holding hands, and it was in his hand and my hand, and the next thing you know, he said, "You need to pray, you've got the holy oil." And I tried to give it back, and he said, "Nope, you need to pray, you got the holy oil. And nope, you need to pray, you got the holy oil." And he kept saying this to me, and I was really not in my comfort zone, because all my life I believed the lies of the devil, who said in my head, "Well, you don't know how to pray with people. You don't know what to say to people. You don't know what to say." And I would do street ministry every year with my girlfriend Barbara in New York City, and we would minister to the homeless people there. And I would always say, "Barbara, come on, this man needs prayer." Or, "Come on, this man needs prayer, this woman." And I would never pray because I believed the lies. And to this day, you know, and then as I joined this church, and every once in a while I'd sit here and I'd go, "Okay, God, don't let Pastor come up here and make me pray over him. Don't make me do that." And Pastor would come over and he'd make me pray over him. And I would go home and go, "No, that was stupid. That was foolish. What stupid things you said." But all along I know that when I open my mouth and I pray for people, the Holy Spirit is going to say what he wants to say. I know that. Well, Tuesday night after all this went down, and I went home, and I had an aha moment, and I heard the Lord say, "So, how did you like being pushed out of your nest?" I said, "Excuse me?" He said, "You know what Joyce Meyer says about the teaching on the eagles, how the mother pushes that baby right out of that nest. Didn't you like how Pastor pushed you out of your nest on last night?" And I was like, "Nope." But I know that it was the Lord, and I know that I've come to the realizations that it's not going to be me speaking, and if I don't know what to say, I'll just pray in tongues until I get more confidence from the Holy Spirit. But I will not believe the lies anymore. That has come to an end. That is done. That is over with. So now he can't push me out of my comfort zone, because I'm out of that comfort zone.
Amen. Come on, give the Lord a clap offering. Because it's important that we realize that. How many of you can relate to her testimony? Thank you. You know, we're all the same, in case you forgot. We are related to each other. And we all have these weird thoughts in our brain. And they're not necessarily God. Now, I will say that there is a vision in front of me that is speaking loud and clear. Anybody see Teresa's face?
She loves
She is a mama. So now, you know what you have a vision of, Marshall? When you were a little boy, see what happened? Look at the smile on mama. You could never erase that from your memory. Amen? So in Acts chapter 2, they have received the Holy Spirit, and they are drunk in the Lord. They're very, very aware that they were all filled in verse 4. So, you know, we also have received the Holy Spirit. We also have been changed. How many have been touched by God? So you know that you know that you know that He's real. Thank you. Thank you. I rest my case. But now there's a boldness that comes upon Peter in verse 14. And I want to kind of let this happen to you. "Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd." Notice it's not Peter by himself. With the 11. Why? Because it's a corporate Christ. It's a corporate group that have received. Now, if I remember correctly, at the beginning of Acts chapter 1 and 2, it talks about the 120, but they had started off with 500. Now there's 120 that get baptized in the Holy Ghost, but the 11 and Peter get up. How many have never seen that before? I always thought it was Peter alone. But this morning, the Lord reminded me, you need your brothers and sisters, and when you guys stand as one unit before God, mighty things will happen. And he also said there's a dividing spirit that wants to divide each and every one of you from each other. He is irritated by your harmony and by your love. Your love for each other is a threat. Try it on for size. Close your eyes. Say, my love for my brothers and sisters in Christ is a threat to darkness. And I better realize it. And those of you who are listening to this message, I want you to realize that you're in that same group. You are anointed of the Lord to give out a message, and others will rise with you, even if they may be hundreds and hundreds of miles away. As they rise in harmony with you and you begin to speak, things will change. Here he addresses the crowd. Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk as you suppose. It is only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. Now, notice again, Peter is quoting the scripture. He's quoting about what was written before him. And we do the exact same thing. We do the exact same word to others. What Jesus did, he predicted it through Joel and through many other saints. But then when it became a reality, they were having a problem with it because it didn't fit their pattern of holiness. These weirdos seem drunk. How many of you have ever been accused of being weird? Thank you. You got accused, huh, kid?
Well, I don't care about a lot of people thinking I'm weird, but it bothers me when my family thinks I'm weird.
Yeah. Why do we let it bother us? Because that's a good word. It bothers me when my family rejects my weirdness. Amen? How many can relate? Thank you. See, we're all in that truth where we don't want to be rejected again. We're hurt because it's happening over and over and over. And the Lord is trying to tell you that you are a new creation. Now, when the old creation was in control of this mouth, I would have been loved and accepted by everyone around me, including those that are called family. Did Peter's 11 include his family? Did Peter's 11 include his family? No. Jesus called him away from his family. He called him away from his business partners. Yes or no? He pulled him aside and kept him for 3.5 years. Talk about a weird experience. Pulled him away from his fishing boat. Pulled me out of the furniture business. I was comfortable there. In fact, the mortgage was almost paid. And you know, it's hard to pay the bills sometimes when you're in business. Marianne, can you relate? I know the next lady here can relate to you. Is it easy to be in business? No, it's not easy in being in business. It's hard. Bob, is it easy to be in business? A lot of people think it is until they get into that game. How about being a doctor? Is it easy being a doctor? No. See, the giftings and callings that are in us, did not come with easy. It came with trials and temptations of every kind. James 1. Trials and temptations of every kind. And then the Lord goes have and has the audacity to say, and rejoice. You know, I didn't like James. I thought he was a pain in the butt. Because the Holy Ghost wouldn't let me go without reading it every day for a whole year. James 1, Kim. God, I read it yesterday. Read it again out loud today, Kim. Is your life full of difficulties and trials of many kinds? Then rejoice. I don't feel like rejoicing. Well, you better read it again because you still didn't catch on, Kim. Do you think Peter's friends were liking what they were hearing? He was prophesying that the prophet Joel had predicted this years before. And he said, verse 17, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Oh, yeah, sure. That doesn't include me. After all, I am useless.
Not anymore.
Not anymore. Thank you, Dee. Have you any idea how weird you are to those that don't understand the power of the Holy Spirit? Then it goes on to say, your sons and daughters will prophesy, your young men will see visions, your old men will dream dreams. Even in my servant, on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. He is declaring they will prophesy. He is actually setting a pace to change the world. And then he goes on, I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below. Blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness, the moon to blood. Before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. This Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God, not accredited by man. They couldn't stand his guts. They can't stand your guts. They don't like you because you represent the eternal. They can't understand you because you're an eternal being now. And the irritation of your light creates havoc in their minds. And they'd rather have you out of existence than to put up with you. And sometimes they'll have the audacity to let you know about it. Please give me an amen.
Amen.
Okay? And you are trying to be nice all the time. I'm telling you, boldness was in the heart of Peter and the 11 that were with him. Boldness had come upon him. And you and I need that boldness to be able to respond. If you don't like the way I am, too bad. I was communicating this week with an individual that's going through a big, big test. And I heard the Holy Spirit say, this person is so bound by fear that they would give in to anything, just like you were. And I said, oh my God, Lord, what has this person got in front of them? He says, a lot of torment and a lot of pain. So hold them in your heart. There are some that you will relate to, and you don't understand the fullness of that. But what will happen is, as you carry them in your heart, a little bit at a time, the chunks of deception will start falling away, chipping away, chipping away, a little piece at a time, until Christ Jesus is visible to them as well as to you. That's my prayer, not just for me, but for you. Watch the next verse, 23. this man was banded over to you, handed over to you, by God's set purpose and foreknowledge. You mean to tell me everything that's happening to you is set up by God and by His foreknowledge?
Yes.
Sometimes that's the most uncomfortable yes. Because I don't like having difficulties and hardships of every type and then be rejoicing in it because it is not comfortable. I would rather escape. This may sound like a crazy picture, but taking the blankets and cover me over the head and make believe that I don't exist. The only problem is the bathroom eventually calls, or my tummy calls. And when those things happen, you finally crawl out of bed reluctantly, and a lot of anger and resentment is sometimes present in your heart. Am I hitting you where you live?
Yeah. Yes.
But you understand, but you do it afraid, you do it because, wait a minute, this isn't what God wants out of you. And so holy boldness comes upon you, even if it's the bathroom call.
Amen.
I'm serious when I say that, because you know, there were times I didn't want to get out of bed. And it's no different than you. And I'm not crying out that you should be picked on. I'm not picking on you. I'm trying to tell you it's a normal path for a believer. And it's uncomfortable. And it hurts like crazy. But the Holy Spirit will recreate you in the image of the one that you are to serve. The Holy Spirit that came on Peter, who was afraid, he didn't want to get out of the water, I'm not holy, I am ugly, I hate myself. But Jesus didn't give up on him, did he?
No.
In fact, Jesus went out of his way and made breakfast for him. I'm telling you, you're here to have lunch with him today.
Amen.
That's what you're doing. That's why you're here. Okay, so there may be trials and there may be hardships, but they're not hopeless. Look at that gorgeous little girl. She hasn't got a problem. She's got a Grammy.
Amen.
Or is it a Mimi?
She has problems with her formula. I'm trying to get the right one. If it wasn't for that, she would be excellent, babe. I mean, she would not cry.
She's a gorgeous girl. So this man was handed over to you by God's set purpose, foreknowledge, and you, with the help of the wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. Verse 24, but God raised him up from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him.
Amen.
Death could not keep its hold on him. Is the spirit of death bugging you to death? Oh, if I was only dead, at least I wouldn't be suffering anymore. I've been there. Lord, can you beat me out of here? Can you just get me away from all this pain? I don't want to live like this anymore, Lord. Please take me home. That's never happened to you.
Yes. I used to run into caves and not come out.
There you go. You were related to Elijah. Elijah ran into a cave and the Lord came over and he stepped on all of his deception, didn't he? Little piece at a time.
Yeah.
And the grace of our God will take care of each and every one of us, even if we've run into a cave. Because I've been in the cave and it's no fun being in the cave. But it is designed by God to change us. And it is foreknowledge of God. He knows before you do something, even if it's silly stuff, he knows it. But he also knows how to set you free. And he knows how to you can become overwhelming to even the spirit of death. Because that spirit of death will try to kill you. And it'll try to get you to kill yourself. That's what he's trying to do. Wow, did you ever get the connection that maybe he's trying to get you out of the way because he's irritated by you? Did you ever get that revelation in your head? Mm-hmm. You have so little value of yourself and so little value of who you are in Christ. And you've believed the lie that even death would be a victory. Romans 2:7 would just shatter that word. Because you see, you're to go forward and to stand against the spirit of death as best you can. And when you can't do it anymore, give it to the Lord. How many have ever gotten to the point, I can't fight anymore, Lord? Give it to him. It's too big for you anyway. But you see, he already resurrected out of death. So he has that ability. Because you just don't have it. I want you to skip over to 36. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter replied, repent, meaning change your mind. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children. I hold him to that promise. Amen. It's for me and my children, and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. Did you hear that? For all whom are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. Those that are impossible in your mind to be transformed and changed can be done by him and not by you. And I was talking to Gail this morning and she said, you know, she saw some things on her trip. And it was difficult and I'm sure she'll be sharing with us. But the bottom line is, God's not tied to the unbelief that we are tied into. Amen. That's the bottom line. So my prayer is for you today to ask the Lord for boldness. Ask the Holy Spirit to give you that boldness on the interior so that you can respond with love to those that sometimes push your buttons, and the courage to cry out to the Lord when you fall short. I also been made aware this morning that brothers in Christ, Pastor Tim, had surgery this week, you said.
During his sermon on Sunday, his eye went out and he had detached his retina. He had to leave service, go to the hospital, and they did surgery on him. So he's home.
He's home.
He has to lay down for a whole week without getting moving.
Do you think maybe because he did something wrong or something right?
I don't know.
Think about it.
I'm asking the Lord, but he didn't give me anything, so I'm not going to judge it.
Chances are it's because he's doing something right. Now close your eyes.
I was thinking there's a little bit of discord in the body. Uh-huh. And sometimes when there's discord in the body, things, you know, break down.
I would more or less believe that, you know, because he is a man of God, that the darkness would like to put him out. If they can. But they can't. So if you've got a neighbor, just take their hand. We'll just close our eyes and we're going to ask the Lord for grace. Father, we want to lift up Pastor Tim this morning and his family and his church family. And we're going to believe, Lord Jesus, that you will just bring that light into his eye. Bring the transformation in there that he needs, because you know the fullness of what's needed. And we trust you with this in Jesus' precious name. And all of God's people say,
amen.
We also pray for the offerings, Lord, that you would just show us what to give in obedience to your Spirit. We also believe that the spirit of boldness is available to us.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
Say, Lord Jesus,
like St. Peter,
I want to stand with my brothers and sisters in boldness to declare the love of Christ to those that are ready. Lord Jesus, give me the praise,
give me
And the worship.
And the worship.
And the glory.
And the glory.
To pour out of me.
So that all the darkness
that is trying to overwhelm the body of Christ
will not only be put out of business,
but I will be able to speak the truth
by the boldness of the Holy Ghost
to set the captives free.
And that starts with me.
Hallelujah. Share some hugs with each other. Yes?